Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior. Not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Today we are going to join James Lyon in a conversation. Listen, very interesting.
Hello, my name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I'm talking today to James Lyon about a challenge that happens to be very rare, and the perception of how one handles it is always different. But James handled it in his own way, and it was a challenge. And I'm really glad that you joined us today to talk about it and to perhaps really shed some light on the situation so that, as rare as it is, there are other people that have it, and so it will actually maybe save someone the kind of pain that maybe a lot of people may be going through. So welcoming, James. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
So, first of all, I really appreciate you willing to talk about it because I know it's really personal and I know that you've been through a lot. Do you feel now that it was all definitely worthwhile, worth it?
Yes, I do. I feel that it's given me a perspective on life that there's very few people get to experience, and going through it wasn't easy, but coming out the other end of it and being able to look back is, in a lot of ways, I feel blessed. I actually feel kind of lucky.
So that's wonderful. And in order to clarify to people what we're talking about and what it is that you went through and what it is that you feel blessed about, let's start in the beginning with you have something special that not too many people have. And the way you told me to describe it is the fainting goat, which is how people will get it. But still, for me, the fainting goat means nothing. So what is the fainting goat, and what is really the name of the stuff that you had to go through?
The name of it is, it's a muscle disease. It's called myotonia congenita. And it is basically the same muscle disease that the fainting goats have. The fainting goats are this YouTube sensation with millions and millions of views, where you can go onto YouTube and watch people scare these goats. And what happens is the goat's muscles lock up and they fall over just like as stiff as a board and sit there for a couple seconds. And then it's magically the stiffness goes away and they jump back on their feet. And so you can watch people do this to hundreds of these poor goats. It's actually kind of funny, but it's funny because it's sort of something that I've gone through before.
You mean people actually have fun doing this?
Well, people have fun doing this to the goats. They don't personally have fun doing this to me, but it's sort of an online joke, I guess. I have to check this out.
Yeah, I personally don't like when people are not kind to animals. It really bothers me. But people have a weird way of having fun.
I know they do. I've told people that, you know, I sort of see these goats as a personal mascot. So it's sort of fun to have your own little personal mascot in life.
And it's called Mad Goats?
No, Fainting Goats.
Oh, Fainting Goats. There you go. I'm putting Mad Goats and nothing is happening. It's Fainting Goats.
Fainting Goats, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, oh, my God, there's so much of it. Never even saw it before.
Yeah.
If it isn't kind and sweet and joyful, I don't really get attracted to it. So if I would have seen it, I would not have really looked into it. But now that you say, so you have what those fainting goats really have, the same kind of muscular condition.
Exactly, yeah. My muscles do the same thing. I've locked, my muscles have locked up like that before, and I've basically fallen over just like the goats do. So for me, it's sort of, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, then I think you're really in trouble in life. And, you know, so... Absolutely, yeah.
I'm reading here. It says fainting goats are born with a condition called myotonia congenita, which is what you just said, which causes their leg muscles to tense up as part of whatever. Do you want to explain what that actually means? Because it doesn't sound like English.
Well, basically what happens is the muscles do two things. They contract and they relax. Anytime you want to, you know, use them, really, you're making them contract. So you walk up a flight of steps, you're contracting your muscles. But then they also have to relax for you to use them again. And what happens with my muscles is they contract, but then they don't relax right away. So I'm moving, and then I kind of get stuck for a minute until my muscles decide that they want to, you know, get going again.
So basically, for that split second or for a few minutes, your muscle will not let you move.
Correct. Yeah. Or they greatly slow me down.
And does it have to get really bad for you to fall over, like? It looks like you're fainting, but really your muscles are holding you back from going forward.
Yeah, it does have to get really bad to fall over. And I haven't done it in a long time. I used to do it when I was a kid because I would, I would try and rush around too quickly and then I would wind up falling over. But it has to get pretty strong. The thing that's sort of interesting about the disease is I can be walking along perfectly normal and no one would ever tell that there's anything going on. It's only when I have to do something that's more physically exerting, where I have to contract my muscles at a higher level, that it kicks in. And so as soon as I contract my muscles at a higher level, that's when it kicks in. And then, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 seconds, I have to deal with the contraction. And then I can operate at that higher level as if there's nothing wrong. So what people see is they see me moving along fine, and then all of a sudden I'm really stiff and I can't move. And they're like, what's going on? What are you doing? And so that's sort of what happens with the fainting goats. You'll see them running along in their field, and when someone scares them, their muscles tense up, and they lock up, and they move to that higher level, and that's when they fall over. So I'm not sure if that makes sense.
So
Yeah, that totally explains it. That's definitely understandable. And it doesn't seem like it would be noticeable of everything that you're going through, but the only thing people would notice is that you're definitely slowing down. And, like, especially if you have to go up the stairs, that would take another muscle activity, so then you have to prepare for that, so that your muscles don't lock up as you go up the stairs. Is that correct?
Well, when I walk up the stairs, you'll see me all of a sudden, my muscles, my legs will get really stiff, and I can barely get my legs up in the air to go to the next step. So it would almost be like if somebody put 150-pound weights on your legs and you had to walk up the steps. That's almost what it would feel like, you know, is from the amount of strain that it would put on your muscles, and it's also, you know, what it would do to you is you wouldn't be able to move your legs very quickly, and you would struggle to get them up to the next step.
Yeah, which in itself does not seem so bad, but if you're trying to hide it from the world and you don't want anyone to know it, then it could be a nightmare. And I read this little story that you wrote about one day, not even one day, I think it was more like 4 hours of a day that you had to go through, and it was so touching, not so much because of the muscular disorder that you have, it was more because, first of all, you didn't know what it was, and second of all, that you didn't want anyone else to know, and that you had to do so many things. Do you mind sharing that with everybody and telling them where they can go to read that? Because it was so amazing and so touching and so exhausting. I was so exhausted by the time I read it that I can't even imagine how you would do this on a consistent basis all day long. Now, you just described a few hours in the morning, and you can talk about it in a minute, but where would someone go if they want to read that?
The name of the blog site is Myotonia Triumph of Acceptance, and let's see what the actual blog is. Is I think the actual blog address is sort of long. It's Myotonia congenita-fainting-goat.blogspot.com.
You know what? If you send me that link, I'll put it right on top of this, right below us, right there. And that way people can just link on it and go to it, because we can talk about it, and it's not going to be the same like reading it. And you definitely need to read what you went through. So basically you discussed that, how your morning started and what you went through. Mm-hmm. And everything that you went through is basically because you were really trying hard for nobody to know that there was something wrong with you, even though you didn't know for sure what it was that was wrong with you.
Yeah, the thing that when I think about that time of my life that's kind of scary is that I didn't feel like, sometimes I didn't even feel like I was on this planet. It felt so surreal because no one in my family, well, actually my younger sisters have it, but none of the adults in my family or aunts and uncles or anybody that I'd ever met had the same condition. And you know, when I'd tell them about it, they would just look at me like I was absolutely nuts. And so, you know, and so no one was able to tell me how to deal with what was going on in my life. And I felt very isolated. And I was aware of this fact that I had no clue about really how to deal with this or what was going on. I was aware of the fact that I was completely lost. And that was a scary feeling to realize that you don't have, that you're a child, that you're brand new to this world, and that you don't have any clue about how to deal with this very strange muscle issue that no one else, you know, seems to have. And I, what I would do is every time I went to the pediatrician with my mom, I would make her ask the pediatrician about it over and over again, you know, and she would always get like kind of frustrated with me, but I didn't care. It was like I wanted to know what was going on, and every single time he said, I'd never seen anything like this in my life, and the only thing that he could think of is that it was due to my emotions. And I guess one of the reasons why Amanda came up with that is in the 80s, this whole idea of people's emotions causing physical conditions was a big, it was a big thing. Everybody in the psychological community, you know, it was a popular disorder for people to have. They call it psychosomatic. You know, my parents were told that, and then on top of it, my parents are both big athletes. Both of them played a lot of high school, and then they also played college sports. So their dream was for me to be an athlete. And on top of that, when I wasn't stiff, I was really good. I was the best pitcher on my baseball team. I could always hit the ball really well. I could throw a tight, fast spiral in football. Once I got moving, I could shoot a basketball pretty good. You know, but there were things like running and, well, running's, you know, a big one, that I always had problems with. And so my parents were just very confused about what was going on, and I was confused. And, you know, they just didn't really have any clue of what to do. So basically what they basically told me in so many words, and by not talking to me about it, because I think they kind of felt like if they ignored it, it would go away. But they basically encouraged me to hide it. Don't, you know, we don't want to see this. You're making it up. Quit making it up. You know, just ignore it, and, you know, don't think about it. You're getting yourself too worked up. It's making your muscles do this. And so that was basically the message that they delivered to me. And then when I was 10, I guess I probably, you know, it wasn't going away. They started taking me to the pediatrician when I was 4. So when I was 10, they finally took me to a psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist diagnosed me as having a psychosomatic disorder. And at that point, my parents, you know, basically said, don't, you know, quit doing this. We're going to take you to a therapist, and we're going to get this fixed. But you need to quit doing this. And then when I asked them, should I tell kids in my class about what's going on? You know, they said, no, don't tell anybody. Because, you know, I guess they didn't think the kids at school would take very well to me saying I had a psychosomatic illness. I mean, once the kids figured out what I was talking about, I'm sure my daily life would have been fun for a while. So that's basically what happened. And so with this disease, if I squeeze my muscles really hard, like when I'm sitting down or when I'm walking before I go up a flight of steps, I can make my disease, you know, get to the point where I move looser. They call it warming up the muscles. And I can warm up my muscles by sort of artificially contracting the muscles. And so I would just spend hours every day in class, at home, friends' houses, baseball games, just contracting as hard as I possibly could my arms, my legs, and my back and everything, and just waiting for that moment that someone was going to call me up to the front of the class, make me get out of my chair and walk to the front of the class, which is one of those moments where my muscles would definitely tighten up. or at baseball, you know, I had to hit the ball and then run to first base. So going from just standing to running would create a lot of issues.
What I find interesting is that even though, of course, you didn't know exactly what you had, you still knew instinctively what you have to do to overcome the problem of the moment.
Yeah.
Nobody told you to sit around and contract your muscles. You kind of instinctively knew already that you're gonna, if you do that, then the result will be that you'll be able to be a little bit more smoother, right?
Yeah, yes.
And the other thing that you said was that they said that it was your emotions. It was definitely an 80 thing. Everything was psychosomatic. But do the emotions have any effect on it at all?
Adrenaline has effect on it. So staying calm does make the, you know, does make the stiffness worse. But, you know, even being calm, the stiffness is still there. It's pretty strong. It's just adrenaline kind of hyper kind of aggravates it.
That makes sense, because no matter what you have with any kind of disorder, emotions are going to, if you're really stressed, it's always going to get worse. But it's not necessarily going to go away just because you're calm and you're serene, although it might seem a lot less severe. So basically you spend a lot of time making sure that nobody else notices what you have. Why? What was the reason behind it? Why were you afraid to let the world see, hey, this is who I am? What was it that made you hide it, which is what made your life really difficult?
I think that my parents were pretty upset about it, and at times pretty critical about it, that, you know, a lot of people who have this condition report the same thing, that people say to them, why are you being lazy? You're just doing this to get attention. Are you on drugs? You know, what's wrong with you? Are you joking? You know, there's a lot of sort of, when people don't understand something, they become defensive, and that's how my family reacted to it. And, you know, I guess, just feeling like I was kind of out there on an island on my own, and that, you know, it was scary. It was just really scary to not have any kind of support or any kind of education from anybody on how to deal with this. It just sort of terrified me. And I think that at times, over time, as I continue to deal with this and sort of dealt with the panic that would ensue every single time I thought I was going to have to, show my muscles in front of somebody, and it really was panic, I really started to believe that someone was going to hurt me if they found out. And that's what made it the most difficult.
That the fact that they misunderstood and you were afraid they were going to make fun of you and tell you stop doing this, so you figured, well, I guess it's something I shouldn't be doing, so if I hide it, I'm safer. Nobody's gonna call me and tell me to stop doing something I'm hiding. It was that kind of, like, looking back, because I know it's really hard to figure out, looking back, what drives you to do certain things as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't want them to make fun of you. You didn't want them to yell at you. You didn't want them to tell you stop doing it. And so you just tried to hide it. Is that it?
I thought that they were going to physically hurt me.
I thought that
you know, and I didn't know how bad it was going to get, but I thought that they were going to physically hurt me. So when the teacher would call me up to the front of class, I was worried that the teacher would would call my parents, and, you know, I'd get, you know, spanked by my parents or something like that. I was just very concerned that, you know, the kids in school were going to physically hurt me, because I couldn't physically defend myself with this. If somebody's, I got in a fight with somebody and they punched me, all my muscles in my body would lock up, and then I would basically be standing there immobile while they just continued to hit me and kind of do what they wanted to me until my muscles loosened up.
Right. So that was really, really fear. That was fear. So we're going to take a short break now, James, and that's really, we're going to go from here and find out what you did do about it. And my name is Tippi Feldenstein. I'm talking to James Lyons here about his condition that he had to overcome. And with everything that he went through, it was a challenge, definitely a challenge. But in the end, the challenge ended up being one of the most amazing things in his life, which is usually what happens with challenges. The end of segment one with James Lyons. I don't know if you guys realize how brave he is and how much courage it takes to come out and talk about it, but the courage and the bravery that he has been able to come forth that way has not only helped him to heal himself, but it also helped so many other people that had the same condition and didn't even know that other people had it. And the isolation that you feel that is debilitating all by itself, thinking you're the only one on the planet that has it, you're the only one that's going through this, knowing that other people are going through it and what it is and identifying it in itself could save a life. So we really do appreciate it. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation with segment two. And this is Tippi Feldenstein, and we'll be back tomorrow and finish and find out more things about what James has to say.
We have come to the end of Tippi Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
And go check out Thinking Ghost to get a great idea of what is really, what we're really talking about. So YouTube, the Fainting Ghost, or just click on the link right below here and you will be taken to James' YouTube and he will explain it to you. A wonderful evening.